Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. On Memorial Day Sunday, what a great weekend. Amen. Amen. So if you're a guest with us today, we're really glad that you came to be with us this morning. Come on, everybody. Let's greet our guests. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you in the chair somewhere around there. There's a connection card. If you do us the honor of filling that out. Any questions that you have about us, we want to answer those for you. You can also connect digitally by just texting this number. If you'll just text to this number the word guest, it'll respond back to you and just follow a link, and you can do the same card electronically. But we want to also pray for you. So if you have a prayer request, put them on the card. If you're a family member here, family church, you can also put your prayer request in there. We're just glad you're here. Amen? Yes. You guys ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We ask that you change us and transform us. We sure do want to be faithful followers of Christ. And we know that we can be because you're with us and you lead us and you empower us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. We've come to the conclusion of our series, We Can't Stay Here. We started 4 weeks ago. And the reason that we started this series is really believe that God wanted us to reignite and kind of just fan into flame the vision and the mission that we're on, what God told us when we first started the church in 2001. As I told you in week number one, God gave us the vision and the mission for our church after I had been here 4th of July weekend 2000, and I went back to Midland, Texas, from Romans chapter 15. And so I want us to go there first, Romans chapter 15. The scriptures will be up on the screen, or you can go to uversion.com and you can just follow along there. There's places for you to take your notes there. But this is what Paul writes, and this is where the Lord really spoke to us and gave us our vision and our mission. Paul's writing, and he says, "For I venture not to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed." Pause. Let's leave that scripture up on the screen for a moment. I want you to pay close attention that he says, "I don't want to talk about anything except for what Christ has done in me." There's nothing more powerful than a life changed by Christ. When your life has been impacted by Jesus, there's nothing that will change the world more than for the world to know what God has done in you. There's people out there that this morning after in between services, this lady came up to talk to me, and this is what she said. She says, "I love the real life approach to teaching the scriptures that you bring. That's not limited to me or Sunday morning. You are to live. We are to live the scriptures on a daily basis out there when we go live the mission that God has called us to." And the best story outside of the Bible for the fact that God is who he says he is, Jesus is who he says he is you talking and telling people about the work of God in your life. Amen. Amen? So he says, "I don't want to talk about anything except for that, what Christ has accomplished through me." Let's go to the next verse, verse 19. "By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ." And here's the verse, verse 20. "And thus I make it my ambition to preach." To what?
Preach.
Come on, to what?
Preach.
To preach. That word means to proclaim, to announce. I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. Now where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. Next verse. Is that the last verse? All right. There's a very powerful, you can read it later, verse 21. But here's where we get our vision, that God gave us our vision and our mission. And we talked about this in week one. What is our vision? Anybody? Why are we here? To honor God. That's our vision. In everything that we do, the vision that we have from God is that we honor him in everything that we do. In other words, how we do life, we honor God. How we raise our kids, we honor God. How we do church, we honor God. How we do our marriages, we do it all for the glory and the honor of God. That's why we're here in this portion of the globe. Amen? And our mission is to make disciples. So family church, we are here to do two things, to honor God and make disciples. Say it with me, honor God and make disciples. That is our vision. That's our mission. That's why God has called us here. And on week number one, we said that our core values are the ones that propel us to live out our vision and our mission. And we said these are our core values. All these are found on our website. Our core values, number one, is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We will value nothing above the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because once we settle the Lordship issue in our lives, everything else falls into place. I didn't say that. Jesus did. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. So what he means by the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. As I told you in week number one, we are a non-denominational, interdenominational, whichever one of those you want to use, church. That means that we got people from different walks of faith. But what we want to do is we want to narrow it down, all come to the place of agreement, and here's the place of agreement, is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So that's core value number one that propels us to fulfill our vision to honor God and make disciples. Core value number two is that we want to have unity in the essentials of our beliefs. Because we are a people from different walks of faith, as long as those scriptures, our faith is found in this book, we want to come to the place where we're united. Those essentials are found on our website. Number three is prayer is a core value for us. We don't want to just talk about prayer. We want to be people that pray. Amen? Because Jesus said, my house will be called the house of what? A house of prayer. Number three, our core value number four is that we are a presence-driven church. Everything is about the presence of Jesus Christ. Because once you get in the presence of God, everything else changes. Nobody, when you look at Scripture, nobody ever got in the presence of Jesus and walked away different. I mean, the same. God changes lives. Amen? And then number five, core value number five is we are ongoing disciples. That means that we never stop growing until we stand in His presence. We can never say, I've arrived. I haven't arrived. You haven't arrived. We are on this process of being transformed into the image of God's Son, and it's an ongoing discipleship that we do. So our core values propel us to fulfill our vision and our mission to honor God and make disciples. Then last week we talked about the how. How do we do that? Last week we said we do that through our ethos. Ethos is a Greek word that's found in the New Testament, and it simply means a characteristics of a group of people that define how we express who we are. And our ethos, we said last week, number one, is biblical. We're never going to do anything at Family Church that's not found in the Word of God. Amen. We're never going to lift up my experience or your emotion above the truth of the Word of God. That's how we fulfill what God has called us to be. Number two, it's missional. Yes. We are on a mission from God, every single one of us. Amen? Yes. Say it with me. I am on a mission from God. Again, I am on a mission from God. That means that everywhere you go, you are on mission. It doesn't matter if it's come to church, you're on mission. Go to work, you're on mission. Go to school, you're on mission. Go shopping, you're on mission. Yeah. Constantly looking for a place to point people to Jesus. Amen. Number three, we said that our ethos is intentional. And we're going to talk more about the intentionality of discipleship here in just a moment. But what we mean by that is that we know that discipleship does not happen by accident. We're intentional about discipleship. In other words, I'm not going to become an ongoing disciple just because I said yes to Jesus. Yeah. He is my Savior, but daily I have to take up my cross. You have to take up your cross. You have to make a decision to follow Jesus. Yeah. Amen? And then lastly, we said that our ethos is relational, meaning that we love God and we love people. Mm-hmm. And we respect and honor people, regardless of their walk of life. We don't look at people or treat people different just simply because they have a title at the end of their name or a large bank account. Yes. For God so loved the world. So that was our ethos. So today I want to talk to you about how we live out our vision and our mission by who we are. We can't stay here, family church. We can't. I told you in week number one that within a 20-minute radius from here, there's 80,000 people that are not attending a church. 80,000 people. This past week, and you'll hear more about this in the coming weeks, the reason for this, I had a demographic study done for a 3-mile radius from here. And what this demographic, this study showed us, what it shows us is that within a 3-mile radius from here, there's around 65,000 people that live within a 3-mile radius from here. 42% of them say they do not go to church. That's 3 miles from here. That doesn't take long to drive from here. You want to know why we're here, family church? We're here to honor God and make disciples of those people. Yes. And then from here, send them out and even reach further. But we're here to make a difference in our world. Amen. And we can't stay here. We can't stay here spiritually. In other words, we need to be ongoing disciples. We can't stay here physically, like, really, because we have 3 more years left on the lease here. So we're going to have to make a decision soon. Talk more about that next week. But we can't stay here if we're going to be a part of building the church that Jesus started. We have to look at these chairs and see all these empty chairs and ask God to use us to fill those chairs. Amen? I mean, take a look around you. Here's what I prayed this morning. Because it is for me, and I know it is for some of you, but I want it to be for all of us. I want an empty chair to be a big deal for us. I want us to look at that chair for it to be a big deal. That we just don't look at it and go, oh, look, there are people who are afraid of the front row. But we look at it and we go, that chair is a big deal. It's a big deal to me because it's a big deal to God. Why is it a big deal to God? Because God, He opened up the doors for us to be in this building. Yeah. I don't have time to unpack the miracle, but it is a miracle for us that we're in this building. I mean, the owner, he paid for 90% of this building being built out for us. That's a miracle. So that means that those empty chairs are a big deal to God. Now, I really pray that for all of us, every Sunday that we walk in, it's a big deal to us. We can't stay here because God wants us to reach our world. Amen? Amen. Here's why we can't stay here, part four. Because of who we are. We are, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, we can't stay here because we are disciples of Jesus. Amen? And this is what Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, Jesus called and said to them, to his disciples, that means us too, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, I want to focus a little bit on this verse here because I want you to see what he's saying. He's saying all authority. How much?
All
of it. In other words, we don't make Jesus Lord. He already is Lord. And God made him Lord. We don't go, well, I decided to make Jesus Lord of my life. No, we're choosing to follow him because he's already Lord. But he says, all authority has been given to me by my heavenly Father. And watch what he says, in heaven and on earth. So that means he has authority over my life and over your life and over the life of family church because he's Lord. Amen? But I want you to pay close attention to the next verse. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in the first verse, in verse 18, he says, all authority is given to me. But yet he starts verse 19 by saying, go. Underline the word go. Because it actually means to set into motion. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to force you, even though I have all authority, I'm not going to force you to be a disciple. You have to choose, just like the original disciples had to choose. You and I got to choose. to take up our cross and follow Him. We have to choose to set ourselves in motion every single day of our lives. In other words, when I wake up in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, I have to make this decision. I'm going to set myself in motion to be on the mission that God has called me to. And what is the mission? To go and make disciples. Next verse. Teaching them to observe. In other words, you can't make disciples unless you're being discipled. To observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Good news, we don't have to do it by ourselves. He's with us. He's going to help us. He's going to help us to fulfill the vision and the mission that God has given us. So this is the last part of this series. We can't stay here. Tomorrow is kind of like a bow on the mission, on the message series that we've been talking about. But the first three installments of this series have kind of been inspiring and kind of reminding us of who we are and what God has called us to do. Today's message is more of a how-to. How do I get discipled, and how do I make disciples? Because we can't fulfill it, the vision and the mission, unless we know the how-to. Isn't that right? The first thing we got to do, though, is we have to define what a disciple is. Now, different churches have different definitions for what a disciple is. But here is the disciple's definition for those of us who call family church home. A disciple is someone who is growing in relationship with God, other believers, and people who are far from God. A disciple is someone who's growing in relationship with God, other believers, and people who are far from God. Now, this is the model that Jesus set for us. Theologians call this triangular living. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 52. Speaking of Jesus, this is what it says. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. See, Jesus was increasing. The word increase is an interesting word there. Underline the word increase. It's a nautical term, and it means to make headway. Because Jesus was 100% God, and He was 100% man. But here's the thing about Jesus is He never sinned. Can I get an amen? He never sinned. But here's what Jesus had to do, because He was sent to a world filled with people who did sin. Jesus had to, on a consistent basis, make headway with people. He had to push through. Anybody know what a Pharisee is? He had to consistently push through, make headway. In other words, here's what He's saying. It's not easy reaching the world that we're sent to reach. But a disciple can do that because Christ is with us. But a disciple does that because we choose to live triangularly. In other words, we don't have a one-dimension life. There's a lot of people that say yes to Jesus, but yet choose to live one-dimensionally. In other words, it's all about them. Everything is about them. They come to church, and it's all about them. They leave church, and they're sad, they're discouraged, they feel like nobody loves them, because it's one-dimensional. All they're thinking about is them. You know some of these people, basically in their lives, they're center stage. They're the people that insert themselves into every story. It's like, I had this terrible day and I just really would like some prayer. That's nothing. My day was worse than yours. It's a one-dimensional life. And then there's a two-dimensional life, basically meaning I not only care about myself, but I care about other people, which is good. A lot of Christ followers, people who say yes to Jesus as their Savior, they stop there though. Because all they work on is the relationships that they do life with, which is a good thing. How many of you know it's a good thing to work on your marriages and with your kids and the people that you work with? It's a good thing. But that's not all of what God has called a disciple to be. A disciple is called to grow in relationship with God, with other believers, and everybody, listen, people who are far from God. Look at verse 52 there. It says, Jesus increased. He made headway in wisdom. In other words, in making the right decisions. and in stature, in maturity, and in favor. Underline the word favor. That word actually means winsomeness. Winsomeness with God and man. He found favor with God, did he not? Did he not remember on the day that he got baptized? What did the Father say about Jesus? This is my Son. I'm well pleased with him. We're to find favor, winsomeness with God. So that when we step into his presence, he says, well done, good and faithful child. Come on in here. You did great. Amen. But we're also to grow in winsomeness. We're to have a winsomeness with people who are Christ followers and people who are far from God. We stop with Christ followers because people who are far from God are different. But yet, those are the people that God has called us to be on a mission for. And what that means is that we do things to be closer to them, to be more in relationship with them for the sole purpose of sharing the gospel with them, of pointing them to Jesus Christ. Amen? So here at Family Church, we want to live as disciples triangularly. We want to grow, don't we? Amen? We want to grow in our relationship with God, but we don't want to stop there. We want to grow in our relationship with other believers, but we don't want to stop there. We want to grow in our relationship with people who are far from God. In other words, we want to follow Jesus. You know, the greatest thing that can happen to your life is for Jesus to change your life. Isn't that right? Look at this text in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Amazing little verse. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's amazing that here's what Jesus, I'm going to change your life. How many of you show hands, Jesus has changed your life? Yep. Amen? Some of you don't know. Jesus changes our lives. Amen? But you want to know the greatest mark of a changed life is the life that goes out to change other lives. Yep. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to help you, listen everybody, not just to catch them, but to clean them. Yep. Because it's not enough to catch them, we got to clean them too. Amen? Amen. Yesterday, I went fishing with the Cortez boys, and it was quite the little moment. It was their very first time fishing, and they were excited. We get in the car, and they're excited. You know, we went over to the evil place known as Walmart, and so we buy all kinds of little things there. And so we get there, and they're excited, and you know, they each got their little rod and reels. One of them got a Spider-Man rod and reel. The other one got a Cars rod and reel. So we're all really excited. And so we get their little rod and reels ready, and we throw it out there in the water. And we went to this place called Shady Lakes, and Shady Lakes has two different kinds of ponds. One pond is they don't stock it enough, and so you just have to sit there and wait. The other one is filled with trout. As soon as you stick your line in there, boom, you got a fish. So we went to the other one, kind of teaching them how to fish. And so they're excited. Jonah sits in his chair. It's a funny little side. He sits in his chair and he's just waiting there, just holding his rod. And after a while, he starts to really, and I said, Jonah, Jojo, you just got to leave it there. You got to have, here's the key to patience, Jonah. That's what I told him. Here's the key to fishing. It's patience. You just got to be patient, Jonah. And then David, being spiritual, that's what discipleship is, Jonah. This is so funny. After a while, they started losing interest in fishing and got more interest in the worms. So it's like, they're just boys, right? But you know what? Sometimes we get impatient. And God says, you just have to grow in relationship with people who are far from God. And the time will come when you will catch them. It'll happen. About 15 minutes before it was time to leave, we decided to take them over to the pond that was like, put it in and you catch them real quick. And so, I mean, they baited those hooks and they put them in there. And as soon, I mean, like 2 minutes, boom, they both caught a fish. It was awesome. And because they charged their 65 cents an inch, we only let them catch one apiece. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for your trout. On the way back, we're driving back, and the fish are in the car. And I tell David, man, it smells like fishing here. It smells like we've been fishing. Let me ask you a question. Does your life smell like you've been fishing? That's what God is calling us to do, to go out there to the people who are far from God. We need to know. I had this thought yesterday. I was telling David, it's amazing when they would look at the disciples, they would say, we can tell that you've been with Jesus. I wonder if part of that telling that we've been with Jesus is that because we're out there fishing. But it doesn't stop with catching them. We got to clean them. And that is what we call discipleship. We got to clean them. We got to disciple them. We got to show them what it means to live a life for Christ. But that can't happen if we're not being discipled. So here at Family Church, we put together, Pastor Rob and some of the other leaders, we've been working on this project now for about 6 months. And so I told you last week that we were going to hand out the discipleship booklet to you today. And we're not. We're going to hand it out next week. There was a printing issue, but this is the inside of it, so we don't have the cover, but you're going to get it next week. But here's I'm going to walk you through the discipleship process. Why? Because we need to know what it means to live a life that grows in relationship with God, other believers, and people who are far from God. Our discipleship process comes from the Word of God because we're biblical. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. This is what Paul is writing, and if you've been around here for any length of time, you've seen this verse. This is what Paul writes, and he says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I want you to focus on the last few words of this text. He says, we want to present everyone perfect in Christ. Everyone perfect. We want to present everybody. That's the end goal. You want to know what the end goal is? That we're maturing, is that we're growing, is that we're living out in our own personal lives, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and that we're helping others to live that verse out as well. And so all we need to do is just introduce people to the gospel, and then they come to faith, and then we work with them to disciple them. And here in this verse, we find God is giving us our discipleship process. And he's given to us, and we define it with four words. And with the help of Philip Ortiz, we came up with a process and a logo that's going to be on this booklet to help us define, this is how I'm discipled, and this is how I make disciples. I engage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I establish them in their faith. I equip them to be disciples, and then I empower them to continue the process. Because we are on growing disciples. Amen? And so here's what he says. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He says, the first thing we do is we engage people. He says, we engage people. The word is proclaim. Proclaim. Let's pull up that word in the Greek. This is what that word means. It means to make known in public, with implication of broad dissemination, to proclaim, to announce. In other words, we have to open our mouth and tell people about Jesus. Isn't that right? Paul writes this in Romans, speaking about telling people about Jesus. He says this, Romans 10:14. He says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching the gospel to them? We have to engage them. We have to engage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, that means that we need to know what the gospel is, right? We need to know what the gospel is. We have a definition at Family Church for the gospel. Let's put that up on the screen. Here's what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. Now, why is it important that we memorize this? Because God is going to give us an opportunity, because we are on a mission. When I wake up in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, if we thank God for the mission that he's placed us on and ask him to open a door, there will be a moment where you will have the opportunity to share the gospel. So here's what a disciple does. A disciple knows what the gospel is. Amen? So let's look at this together. Let's read this together. Ready? Read. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. A disciple proclaims. A disciple what?
Proclaims.
And so we want to help you at Family Church to be an ongoing disciple by providing tools for you to use in proclaiming. And so every one of these steps in this little booklet has what we're calling a toolbox to help you to engage people with the gospel. There's different opportunities that God's going to give you. It could be at work. It could be your closest family member. It could be your neighbors. Here's an amazing story of an engaging moment. Luke chapter 5, verse 29, Levi was called by Jesus, and watch what it says. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and all the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." He had a block party. He just had a block party. Levi just said, "You know what? I know a lot of sinners. They're in the same business I'm in." And so he just had a block party. He engaged them with the gospel being Jesus Christ. I wonder what opportunity God will give you to engage people with the gospel. I wonder who's living across the street from you, just waiting for you to engage them with the gospel. I wonder who you're going to encounter tomorrow at work that God has already placed in your path because you are on mission and you're going to have the opportunity to engage them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have some tools in the engage process of discipleship. I'm going to ask Pastor Rob to come up here. We're going to use him as an example. Let's pretend that Pastor Rob is a heathen. Can anybody picture him unsaved? I knew him when he was a brand new believer, believe me. So we have the toolbox here is going to provide you some tools. One of the tools that we have for you, and again, there's all these things are available to you on the internet as well, is what we call the SALT process, S-L-A-T. So just make a little note, just a little acronym. And this is what SALT stands for. The letter S, start a conversation. It's not hard. You just start a conversation with where people are, depending on what they're going through. So you just say, "How you doing, man? It's good to meet you. What's your name?"
Rob,
my name is JR. It's good to meet you, man. What do you do for a living?
I sell cars.
You sell cars? Oh, that's awesome, man. You know, I bought a car from this great guy, good-looking guy. You know, he's down there. He's got this place called ABQ Autos. You know that guy? And so you start having a conversation. It's just simply starting a conversation with where they are. You don't have to fabricate anything. And then you ask a question. So how's your business doing? Something along those lines. Somewhere along the line, they're going to say something that's going to open up the door for you as you listen. As you what? That's the letter L. As you listen. In other words, you're not the only one talking. You listen. And then when the moment comes, you tell the story. If he comes and he says, "Well, you know, it's just really been a challenging month at my business, and you know, we just, you know, the bills still come and cars." That's a moment for you to tell your story of how your faithful God came through for you. Amen. So you just tell the story. You know, Rob, there was a time with my wife and I, we were at this place financially, man, and we were at that same place, and you know, we just didn't know what to do. And a friend of mine, when I was talking to him, he said, "You know, can I just pray for you?" And that was kind of foreign to me. And there you go. You just start the opportunity. And you get to the moment where you present the gospel. And say, "You know what, Rob? God answered my prayer. And he came through for me. But you know the greatest prayer God ever answered for me? What's that an opportunity for? The gospel. He paid for my sin." Amen? Let's give Rob a hand. He just got saved. Praise the Lord. Let me just tell you something about your story. I want to encourage you to write your story down and make it no longer than 2 minutes. Because if you start preaching, well, you know, let me just get out my outline, you know, and just tell them your story. Nothing has more power than a life changed by God. Yep. Amen? And you guys know this, I've been working with this golfer. All that started by me just asking, man, how did you get so good? And so I'm working, growing in relationship with this guy who is far from God. This past week, I introduced him to Sylvia. And this is what he said to Sylvia. We were right there together. He says, it's so good to have somebody to talk to about something other than golf. They're looking for somebody to care for them. And God has those on mission. Here's another thing in your toolbox is the God test. So all this is a little questionnaire. It's something that can help you. It's got two different sides, 10 questions. Side B, if you just basically ask this question on side B, it says, do you believe in God? And if they say yes, you continue on side B because it stands for believer. If they say no, you turn it over and you go to side A because it stands for agnostic or atheist. And there's all these questions there. And online, you can go to godtest.org and there's instructions on how to use this little booklet. You can use this booklet, but you don't have to. It's a tool for you. It's a what? It's a tool for you. There's other different ways. One of my favorite ways to engage people is with an evangelism process. It's called FAITH. F-A-I-T-H. You can also find that online. Just look for faith evangelism. Basically, it means this. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Christ. And then you just unpack that with your life and your hand. Pretty simple. So toolbox is available for you to help people to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to engage people. Once we engage them, though, we have to establish them. Let's go back to Colossians 1:28. This is what it says. He says, we proclaim admonishing. Admonishing. Let's pull up the Greek word for admonishing up there. It means to direct one's mind in a different direction. So we need to establish them. We need to establish them in three different places. In their faith, in the word, and in community. A new believer needs to understand what the Bible teaches them. So we have some things that we need to help them understand. We need to help them understand what salvation is. What just happened? You're born again. Okay. What does that mean? Disciples are able to explain that because they've been discipled to explain that. Amen? We need to establish them in their faith as far as repentance so they understand that. We need to establish them and teach them what water baptism is all about so they can be obedient and follow Christ. We need to establish them in the Word of God. We have some tools for you. We have this little book. It's called the One-to-One Book. And good news, everybody. It's available hard copy, but it's also available on YouVersion.com. You just go to YouVersion and you can just walk people through the One-to-One booklet. It talks about salvation, lordship, repentance, baptism, the Bible, prayer, all foundational things. Because you're helping people to change the way that they think. Amen? Amen. Isn't that what caused change in your life? When somebody helped you to understand the Word? So you realize that your way of thinking wasn't the best way of thinking, so that you would not live a one-dimensional life. In fact, you would live triangularly. You would grow in wisdom and stature with God. And then if you want to go a little bit deeper, we have the Purple Book. The Purple Book is 12 lessons. It goes into great detail. All these tools are available for you in your toolbox, and then also Bible reading plans that we can give people. So we need to establish them in faith. We need to establish them in the Word. And thirdly, we need to establish them in community. We need to establish them in community. Luke chapter 2, verse 42 says, we talked about this last week, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of the bread and in prayer. We need to tell people and show people, new believers, that church matters to God. How do we do that? By going to church. We need to get them into our discipleship groups. Coming in August, we're going to expand our small groups into discipleship groups, where you're actually going to be discipled and bring people to be discipled. So number one, we engage them. Number two, we establish them. And number three, we equip them. He says, let's go back to Colossians 1:28. He says, admonishing and teaching them, underline the word teaching, and let's bring that word up on the screen. It means to impart skills or knowledge. I've been talking to you about this over the course of this series. Here's how we do it at Family Church. It's called the Growth Track. So when people get born again, when you engage people, you establish them in the faith, and then you tell them, you got to get into our growth track. We're going to equip them to win in life. We're going to equip them to be everything that God has called them to be in our growth track. And then we have other places here at Family Church where people can get equipped. We have our men's ministry. Every third Saturday, we have a men's breakfast, and there's equipping that takes place here. And then we have the Renew. Our women's Renew meets on the third Friday. The second Friday they meet here. And they're coming up. They have their retreat coming up. It's a great place to be. And then the men, we have our summit coming up in August. And so these are places. Ignite is a great place for your teenagers. How many of you parents would love for your kids to get discipled? Yep. Some of you don't know. Yeah, let's get your kids discipled. A great place for your children to be discipled is over there in our children's area and right here on Wednesday nights at Ignite. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So these are the places that we help people to get equipped. And then the last piece of the puzzle is found back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect. Maturing. Let's bring up that word. It simply means to become officially empowered. We can't do any of this. We can't engage, establish, and equip in a way that honors God and makes disciples without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to empower new believers to go and be everything that God has called them to be. Coming in August, periodically here at Family Church, we have water baptism classes. Coming in August, we're going to have Holy Spirit baptism classes. We're going to bring people, brand new believers, and we're going to say, okay, you've done all these things. Now it's time for us to teach you about the baptism with the Holy Spirit so that you can be empowered, so that you can go engage, establish, equip, and empower. And it's just ongoing discipleship. That's what disciples do, because we are on a mission. We can't just catch them, everybody. We got to clean them. Amen. I want you to look at this last verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Paul says, for this discipleship process, for verse 28, for engaging, establishing, equipping, and empowering. He says, for this I toil. That word means I'm working at this with everything I have. I'm struggling. The word there means to fight. I'm fighting for the lives of people. Family Church, we need to fight for those 42% of the people that are here that are not going to church within a 3-mile radius. And then the 80,000, we need to fight for their souls. And yes, we need to pray for them, but we also need to go and get them and fight for them with all His energy. We don't have to do it by ourselves. Praise God. Amen. That He works powerfully, within me. Yeah. We are on a mission from God. God has called us to honor Him, to make disciples. We can't stay here, Family Church. We can't. You know, I wonder this morning what God would do in your life and through your life if you left this morning and said, I'm on it. If every one of us did that. Currently at Family Church is about, I don't know, somewhere between, really depends on the month, I guess, between 350 and 400 people that call Family Church home. Say, we are disciples in this house. What would happen if all of us would say, I'm in? We know what can happen when 12 say it. Right? Yeah. A whole world was changed. What would happen if all of us said, here I am, send me? I'm really excited about what the future holds for Family Church. I'm excited about our community. I'm excited about the changes that God is going to do in us and through us, all for His glory. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being called Your sons and Your daughters, for the privilege of being the people who take this gospel to the world. We accept the mission, God. And we will go and make disciples. We will engage. We'll establish. We'll equip. And we'll empower. Because we have been empowered as well. With the heads bowed and the eyes closed. If you're in this room and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. In other words, if you were to leave planet Earth today, you're just not sure that you'd go spend forever with God. The Bible says you can be sure. The Bible says if you repent, that simply means that if you choose not to serve yourself and to turn from your sin and to turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, that's repentance. And if you ask Him to come into your life, and forgive you and come into your life, and you accept the payment of His life for your sin and believe that He was risen from the grave, you will be saved. If that's you, I want to pray for you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? How many of you here this morning that would say, I'm a disciple, here I am, send me, because I'm on a mission from God. Would you just raise your hand with me? Here I am, Father, as a disciple. Here I am, send me. I will go. In Jesus' name. Amen.